The fluorescent light again. I must have dozed off. My world is this fluorescent light. The light and the low, continuous, electronic whirring and beeping of whatever equipment might be monitoring me. Monitoring me and keeping me alive? God, I hope not. My world is meetings and deadlines, emails and airports, Bob and my kids. How did my world get reduced to this? How long have I been lying under this ugly light? I move my hand beneath the bedsheet and down to my leg. Oh no, I'm feeling at least a week's worth of stubble. The hair on my legs is fair colored, almost blonde, but I have a ton of it and I usually shave every day. I rub my hand up and down my thigh like I'm petting a goat at the zoo. Oh God, my chin. I have a cluster of 5 hairs on the left side of my chin. They're coarse and wiry like boar hair, and for the past couple of years, they've been my hideous secret and my sworn enemies. They sprout up every couple of days, and so I have to be vigilant. I keep my weapons, Revlon tweezers, and a 10x magnifying mirror at home, in my Sherpa bag, and in my desk drawer at work, so in theory, I can be anywhere, and if one of those evil little weeds pokes through the surface, I can yank it. I've been in meetings with CEOs, some of the most powerful men in the world, and could barely stay focused on what they were saying because I'd inadvertently touch my chin and become obsessed with the idea of destroying 5 microscopic hairs. I hate them, and I'm terrified of someone else noticing them before I do, but I have to admit there is almost nothing more satisfying than pulling them out. I stroke my chin, expecting to feel my little pig beard, but touch only smooth skin. My leg feels like a farm animal, which suggests I haven't shaved in at least a week, but my chin is bare, which would put me in this bed for less than 2 days. My body hair isn't making any sense. I hear nurses' voices and conversation coming from what I imagine is the hallway outside my room. I hear something else. It's not the machine that may or may not be keeping me alive, not the nurse's chatter, not even the faint buzz of the fluorescent light. I hold my breath and listen. It's Bob's snore. I turn my head and there he is, asleep in a chair in front of the beige curtain. Bob. He opens his eyes. He sees me seeing him and pops upright. You're awake, he says. What happened? You were in a car accident. Am I okay? He looks at the top of my head and then into my eyes. And purposefully not at the top of my head. You're going to be fine. His expression reminds me of what happens to his face when he's watching the Red Sox. It's bottom of the 9th, 2 outs, the count is 3-2, there's nobody on, and they're 4 runs down. He wants to believe that they can still win, but he knows they've probably already lost, and it's breaking his heart. I touch the staples on my head. They did surgery to relieve the pressure. The doctor said you did really well. His voice shakes as he says this. Not only are the Sox losing, they're playing the Yankees. How long have I been here? 8 days. They had you sedated. You've been asleep for most of it. 8 days. I've been unconscious for 8 days. I touch my bald head again. I must look horrible. You're beautiful. Oh, please, I'm about to tease him for being so corny when he starts crying, and I am stunned silent. In the 10 years that I've known and loved him, I've never seen him cry. I've seen him tear up when the Red Sox won the World Series in 2004 and when our babies were born, but I've never seen him cry. I'm an easy crier. I cry watching the news, whenever anyone sings the national anthem, when someone's dog dies, when I get overwhelmed at work, when I get overwhelmed at home, and now when Bob cries.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, I say, weeping with him. Don't be sorry. I'm sorry.
I reach over and touch his wet, contorted face. I can tell he's struggling to pull his emotions back in, but he's like a shaken bottle of champagne, and I just pop the cork. Only nobody's celebrating.
Don't be sorry. Just don't leave me, Sarah. Look at me, I say, pointing to my head. Do I look like I'm going anywhere?
He laughs and wipes his nose with his sleeve.
I'm going to be fine, I say with teary determination.
We nod and squeeze hands, agreeing to a certainty we both know nothing about.
Do the kids know? I ask.
I told them you're away for work. They're good. Business as usual. Good. I'm glad he didn't tell them that I'm in the hospital. No need to scare them. I'm normally home with them for the hour or two before school and for the last hour of their day, but it's also normal for there to be times when I have to work late and miss seeing them before they go to bed. And they're also used to my frequent travel schedule and me being entirely away for many days at a time. Still, when I travel, I'm not usually gone for more than a week. I wonder how long I'd need to be here for them to really wonder where I am.
Does work know?
Yes, they sent most of the cards. They said not to worry about anything and to get better.
What cards?
Over there, taped to the wall. I look over at the wall, but I don't see anything taped to it. They must be on the wall behind the curtain.
How long do I need to stay here?
I don't know. How are you feeling? He asks. My head is no longer on fire, and it surprisingly doesn't hurt much. I'm sore all over, though, like how I imagine a boxer must feel after a fight, the boxer who lost. I also have intense cramping in my leg. I've noticed that sometimes there is some sort of device on my leg that massages the muscles, which helps, and I have no energy. Just talking to Bob these past few minutes has tuckered me out.
Honestly?
Yeah, he says, and I can tell he's bracing himself for something gruesome.
I'm starving.
He smiles, relieved. What do you feel like having? Anything you want.
How about soup? I suggest,
thinking soup is probably safe. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to eat anything I want yet.
You got it. I'll be right back.
He leans over and kisses my chapped lips. I wipe the tears off his cheek and chin and smile. Then he disappears behind the ugly beige curtain. It's just me and the fluorescent light again. The fluorescent light, the beeping and whirring, and the beige curtain. And somewhere behind the curtain, wonderful get-well cards from work on the wall.